CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Mary Kissel, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, now executive vice president at Stevens Incorporated on Wall Street, observing the remarks by the new Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken, these last days and weeks following the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and at the same time observing the fact of the phone call between the President of the United States and the President of China happening last week in the same time frame that there's much concern over the fate of people inside Afghanistan and those who have exited Afghanistan. So these are parallel worlds, Afghanistan, the war on terror, the transnational threat, and at the same time, the geopolitical contest between two powers, two great powers, China and the United States. Mary, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I start with Afghanistan because the Secretary's remarks are striking in these last days. The one quote that comes through in his remarks, and I believe this was very clearly repeated over these last several days, "We inherited a deadline," Mr. Blinken said, adding that the Taliban would have attacked U.S. forces had they stayed. "We did not inherit a plan." Let's focus on that. We inherited a deadline. We did not inherit a plan. Implicit in this is the deadline came from someone who is not in the Biden administration. You were in the previous administration. Did you regard the negotiations in Doha, Qatar, as establishing a deadline? Because my memory is there were lots of contingencies and caveats that the Taliban did not meet. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening, John. I think we should set out a framework here just so that listeners can understand what actually happened. The Trump administration signed two deals, one with the Taliban in Doha, and on the same day, a deal with the Afghan government in Kabul. The Secretary of State was present in Doha, and the Secretary of Defense went to Kabul. I was at Andrews Air Force Base when we all gathered there to take off at exactly the same time, going in two opposite directions. There were indeed several contingencies in these agreements. So when the Secretary of State says that we inherited a deadline, that deadline was predicated on all sides fulfilling their commitments, which they did not. But let's set that aside. What is the function of the Secretary of State of any party? Function of the Secretary of State is to execute foreign policy of the United States, and as with other cabinet members, such as the Defense Secretary, to keep Americans safe and to promote our interests abroad. And so when you hear a line that we inherited a deadline, we did not inherit a plan, regardless of whether or not that is true, it doesn't relieve him of the responsibility to protect Americans and the interests of the United States abroad. That's his job. So I think, you know, that quote that you just gave is at best a dodge and at worst an admission that he simply did not fulfill his duties to the American people and American citizens in Afghanistan. And I think that's frankly appalling.
I want to understand the capabilities of the State Department, because there is the general criticism that the U.S. has gone beyond its capabilities for many years, not just here in Afghanistan, but also reaching back to Vietnam, maybe even Korea, beyond our capabilities. The State Department, does it have an apparatus that is capable of contacting all of the American citizens and people, the SIVs, the special immigration visas that we're hearing much about in Afghanistan in the weeks and months prior to the decision to leave Afghanistan? Could they have all been contacted and had a relationship with an officer somewhere, either in country or in Washington? Is that imaginable, Mary, or is that beyond the staffing of the present state?
Well, again, it turns on the definition of the word capability. The State Department is not limited to its consular staff sitting in an embassy in Kabul. The State Department has at its fingertips vast, not only government resources, but private resources, non-governmental organizational resources. If the Secretary of State sends a diktat down the building and out to the field that says this must happen, then it is the job of the bureaucracy to make it happen however they need to. And in this particular instance, we had a multitude of non-governmental organizations, former veterans groups and others, who gathered those names and were sending those names to the State Department to supplement and in some cases correct the lists that the State Department had. So, you know, to assert that somehow the State Department can't quite keep track is a very limited and narrow, and I would argue misleading, of the understanding of the capabilities that Secretary Blinken has at hand.
We can see that the exit from Afghanistan was a catastrophe. We can see that the human damage is not obvious now because the fog of war has descended on Afghanistan. However, what we can see are the people who have left Afghanistan and are now in various places across the globe. I believe some are in Germany, some are in Doha, some are on their way to, I know there's a soccer team in Italy, the Gathering. So in all directions. The State Department now, is it the State Department's responsibility or has it been the responsibility been handed off to another agency to see to the needs of the people who have been evacuated? Because in many instances, I'm reading stories where they have family members back in Afghanistan who need attention.
Well, this is the other misleading claim that the State Department has repeated in recent days, which is that there are Americans in Afghanistan who refuse to leave. But note, they never complete the sentence and say why. The reason Americans are refusing to leave Afghanistan is because the State Department is not issuing visas to their family. So why would they leave if they can't take their wife and children or their aging mother with them? And it's incredibly frustrating to me that the press corps and the members of Congress don't press on this point because it's an obvious question to ask. Now, John, to your question, whose responsibility is it to help these Afghans once they have been evacuated? And let's note that the bulk of the evacuations were Afghan citizens and not Americans and not American green card holders and not American special immigrant visa holders. They were ordinary Afghans. Well, it's an interagency effort. So the Defense Department has taken a lead role in moving many of these people to bases. The State Department has negotiated agreements with third-party countries to facilitate those flows. Other agencies, the Department of Homeland Security, intelligence agencies, the State Department Consular Bureau will now have to vet these people and compare them to lists of known terrorists or terrorist associations. There are any number of agencies now that will take part in vetting these refugees and deciding where they go.
I read from the New York Times, the diplomatic effort that Mr. Blinken vowed would continue largely focuses on pressuring the Taliban to ensure safe passage for people who want to leave Afghanistan and to protect Afghan women and girls who were denied education and jobs and in worst cases brutalized when the Taliban last ruled from 96 to 2001. On Monday, in other words, in these last hours, Mr. Blinken acknowledged that the Taliban had fallen very short of the mark in creating a government that includes women or ethnic minorities, as many countries have demanded. Is it the State Department's role now to continue the dialogue with the Taliban government, such as it is, the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan? And we could go into the details because we're looking at many members of the Haqqani network. That is not what I would say is a substantial government. But in any event, is the State Department the right interlocutor to see to the fate of the people left behind or the women and girls who are at risk?
Well, again, I think it's helpful to stand back and ask who sets these policies. The President of the United States sets the foreign policy of the United States and his Secretary of State carries it out. And the President is elected and elections have consequences. The American people elected a president who appeases terrible governments. We're seeing that happen with the Islamic Republic of Iran, which continues to flout its obligations under UN Security Council resolutions. And yet we still talk to them. They are the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism. We have lifted certain, or eased rather, certain sanctions on them, and are continuing to beg them to engage in talks as they continue to break these agreements. We see that vis-a-vis how this administration is dealing with communist China, where they are sliding back into dialogue with absolutely no give on the other side. We're getting nothing for that. And so when you say, John, is it the role of the State Department to engage with this terrorist-led regime in Afghanistan? Well, if you look at this fact pattern, if the president of the United States, who was elected by the American people, determines that he thinks it's in our national interest to do that, then yes, his chief diplomat's job is to then go and engage with this terrorist-led regime.
And therefore, that is, I know hope is not a plan, but that is the next step to ask the State Department, what is the dialogue looking like? We're going to turn to China since you introduced it, Marion. You were many there years there in Hong Kong and traveling through Asia, because most recently, at the same time, the President of the United States and the President of China have exchanged thoughts in a phone call, the first in many months. This is CBS Eye on the World with Mary Kissel, the former senior advisor to the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, now Executive Vice President at Stevens Incorporated, and I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.